Today's scripture is Exodus 32, 11 through 20. It runs on page 78 in your pew Bible. Listen to the word of God. But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against with people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out of, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath. Change your mind and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain, carrying the two tablets of the covenant in his hands, tablets that were written on both sides, written on the front and on the back. The tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, engraved upon the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, and he said to Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. But he said, it's not the sound made by victors or the sound made by losers. It's the sound of revelers that I hear. As soon as he came near the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses angered, burned hot, and he threw the tablets from his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf and that they had made, burned it with fire, ground it to powder, and scattered it on the water and made the Israelites drink it. This is the word of God.
Action. I cannot wait to see Selena Gomez in concert. She's like the most amazing person ever. What about you? Can't you just not wait?
Well, it's exciting, but I think you should remember the commandment God gave us. You shall not have any other gods before me. It seems like you're idolizing Selena.
Whatever. Selena deserves to be idolized.
Not as much as God. Besides, remember the story of the golden calf? It was when Moses was getting the Ten Commandments from God up on the mountain. It had been a while, and the Israelites were starting to worry he hadn't come back.
At the bottom of the mountain, Aaron is talking to the Israelites.
Who knows about Moses? He might never come back. The God he preached about has probably abandoned him. We need a God that we can see and touch.
Bring me all of your gold, as much as you can find. We will take it and turn it into a God that we can see and touch.
Later, they are admiring a golden calf they welled from the gold.
Look at its greatness. Here is your God that you can see and touch.
This God will be good. We can hold festivals in its greatness.
On the mountain, Moses is receiving the commandments from God.
Moses, leave me now. I have seen your people and they have been quick to turn away from me. Leave me so my anger may burn.
Please, Lord, forgive these people you brought out of Egypt. Remember the promise that you made to their forefathers, to make their descendants as numerous as the stars.
I will not bring on the disaster I threatened, but leave and see what they have done.
Back on the ground, Moses comes down and drops the commandments.
What have you done, Aaron? What could these people have done to you to bring you to this?
Well, I just...
You have all committed a great sin. Hopefully, the Lord will forgive you.
Back to the present day.
God made his people wander in the desert for 40 years because of this sin. It teaches us to only honor God.
You're right. Selena may be cool, but only God is worthy of honor. I should remember that from now on.
Thank you.
am the only God.
Do not worship idols.
Do not curse with my name.
Keep every Sabbath holy as a day of rest.
Respect your father and mother so that you may live a long time in the land I'm giving you.
Do not kill others.
Be faithful in marriage.
Do not steal.
Do not tell lies or bear false witness against others.
Do not be greedy about what other people have. Well done.
They did most of my work for me today, so that's pretty nice. And isn't it so easy? Doesn't that seem like it's so easy to get caught up in the things that sort of happen just during our lives? We live such busy lives and in such a busy world. There's always this going on or that going on. And how often is it that we're too busy to notice things that are so beautiful? How often do we look out our windows at night and see the sun setting and think, oh, it's just another sunset. This happens every day, no big deal, right? It's one of the most beautiful things that we see in all creation. What about a refreshing breeze on a hot day? What compares to such cooling sensations? The moonlight glistens off the water, reflected, brilliant. But it happens every day. What's special about that to us now? Who has time to notice that in such a, when I'm working all day or I have to run errands or maybe I want to catch the latest episode of Game of Thrones tonight or the latest concert, Selena Gomez, who knows? We have our routines, we have all these set things we do, and we look for some distractions to break up our routines, like TV shows or music or what have you. And I'm not saying that we idolize everything that we enjoy or have passion for, but soon enough, these distractions, they also become a part of our lives. They become a part of our routines in some way. And so often, it seems we don't pay attention to what God is saying to us, God's creation, God's words for us. And it's not just creation we pass over. How often are we too busy doing something to hang out with friends or to play with your parents or to play with your children? How often does something else come up? Something for work or something that you just have to get done in time? Now, it's not a bad thing that we're so busy. In fact, I think it's what makes us so great as people. We have this desire to do things, this innate want to be involved with the world and in other people's lives. So often we focus on these things, what we do, our routines, and that's not a bad thing. I don't know if you've seen the movie Ratatouille, but Remy the rat, he has this great perspective, I think, and it sounds refreshing coming from a rat's perspective. He says, I know I'm supposed to hate humans, but there's something about them. They don't just survive. They discover. They create. And how right is that? How often do we see this amazing ability to envision something new out of something basic or something plain, to transform the usual into something extraordinary? God created us this way. God created us to be innovative, to be curious, to want to be busy, to strive forward. Now, it does seem that we humans are also a little impatient. It seems like an unwanted side effect of this innate desire to be involved in so many things that we have to be involved. We can't have a moment of peace or quiet. We always have to be doing something, striving forward, the next project, the next big thing, something better. And this is a good drive. Sometimes we get carried away, though, I think. And we've seen in the skit today and in the readings how this can happen. Now, first, it's important to note the Israelites have had a pretty strange turn of events. when we see them here in the desert. They were captives in Egypt for generations, slaves. And then they're freed. And what do they do? Where do they go now? But they've been told by God, promised by God, that they have this special country waiting for them. And God will lead them there. He'll provide for them food, water. God is very present at this time. Moses and God, Moses bringing down God's words, Moses providing these miracles that God allows him to work. The water from the rock, the manna from heaven. And God finally gives them some concrete form, literally in this case, a concrete form of rules and laws on these tablets. God tells Moses to climb up. So Moses climbs up. And he's there for a long time. 40 days and 40 nights, Moses is on top of the mountain. And at this time, the Israelites, they're in this period of change and flux. They don't really know where they are. And they're finally given, about to be given, this solid rule. But when they look at the mountain, what do they see? And if we turn back a little bit before Exodus 32, we see the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. The cloud covered it for 6 days, and on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, if you see somebody walk to the top of a mountain that then gets engulfed in flames for 40 days and 40 nights, I don't know how certain I would be that they're coming back down. Maybe not. Maybe Moses did something wrong and God was mad and God said, now I'm going to burn you in fire. Who knows? Maybe God abandoned this people. And Moses told the people before he went up, he said, don't worry, if something goes wrong, talk to Aaron, he'll figure it out, he's your go-to guy. And so they're kind of afraid, right? The last thing they see is Moses walking into this fiery furnace. And the next thing they do, they talk to Aaron. What are we going to do? We need something we can touch. They're afraid. It feels like they've been cut adrift. They need something immediate, something physical to reassure them. The immediate gratification of the senses. What is more human than that? To have something instantly and be satisfied. We rely on it almost now. Do you remember when internets were really slow and it took like 10 minutes to load like the weather? And now you have the weather at the flip of a finger. It's instant, everything we have. But you also know that sometimes the more immediate our gratification, sometimes the more it costs. Not necessarily just in money, although that is true. A long day at work, you come home tired, making dinner. Good thing the microwave was invented, the fastest possible way to prepare anything. Just put your Easy Mac in the microwave for a minute and you have a meal. Or if you're too busy even for that, you can call Domino's and you don't even stop what you're doing. They'll bring you your food in like, I don't know, 20 minutes, you'll be set. Now, of course, a lot of these ready meals, you'll regret it later after weeks and weeks of eating them and you find that you haven't exercised in days and you feel terrible and probably are sick. What about those shortcuts you take on your homework? I still do. And you think, oh, yes, done my homework early. I'm going to go outside. I'm going to go hang out with my friends or do something fun, do something different. And that sounds great. Like, why would you not do that? And then you get your test back and you realize why you shouldn't have done that. And now you're in trouble because you did poorly and you find yourself having to work more and work harder. The quick and easy way out, we're so used to it, but it doesn't always lead to another problem, something a little bit more difficult. How true is the saying, all that glitters is not gold? Shakespeare weaves us a tale of appearances and deception in Merchant of Venice. He continues in this famous speech, often have you heard that told? Many a man his life has sold, but my outside to behold. Gilded tombs do worms enfold. It looks great on the outside, Men will sell their souls to have this amazing, beautiful thing. But inside, what do we find but worms and decay? The visage of beauty. How often does it lead us astray? I did not intend that to rhyme, actually, but there it is. How often do we see that? The sirens calling out to us, leading us closer to this beautiful sound, promises of beauty and wealth, and it ends in rocks. And what better than gold to personify this image, this representation of perverse seduction? God calls to Moses, furious. How often have we heard God say, "Don't worship other gods before me"? And how long did it take them to do that very thing? He says, "Do not worship idols of silver or gold, but make an altar unto the Lord." And instead, the Israelites worship a golden calf. They do not make an altar to the Lord. They make a new god itself. God calls to Moses and tells him, "Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way I commanded them." But Moses kind of understands what God is trying to say. Obviously, he's angry. But Moses, too, as a human, knows what they're going through. And Moses replies, and this is the brilliance of Moses' response. He uses the same exact words that God uses. "Why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt? You brought them out with a great power and a mighty hand. Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that God brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? No, God, turn from your fierce wrath. Change your mind. You promised. Remember what you said to Abraham and to Isaac. I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever." Moses reminds God whose the Israelites are. God knows who the Israelites are. But Moses reminds him that they are his. They are God's people. God brought them out of Egypt. God chose them. God sustained them in the wilderness. And God is eternal. It seems that it can't be avoided, our impatience. But we're also a people of great imagining. We have this gift. Sometimes, yes, we are consumed by an interest in sparkly things, shining things, but it's just a passing fancy that grabs us, distracts us for a moment. The stronger urge is for that slow, immeasurable reassurance that we can't see, but sometimes we can feel it. Can't we? We can feel it inside ourselves. We can feel it in the ground. It's that force that drives us. It doesn't have anything to do with time. It defies the laws that we can measure, the things that we can understand. But it's there the whole time, underneath those passing fancies, behind them. Returning to Merchant of Venice, it is Bassanio who sees the truest form of love, the fullest potential in the most base appearance. There's three casks. There's a gold cask, a silver cask, and a leaden cask. Bassanio has to choose which cask he wants to open. And the one that he chooses, if it's the right one, then he gets the girl and lives happily ever after. So the first suitor chose the gold one. And we all know what happened with the gold one. Worms enfolded it, gilded tombs. The second one chose silver. And he was also wrong. And of course, Bassanio, the hero, chooses correctly. Bassanio sees. Bassanio says, "So may the outward shows be least themselves. The world is still deceived with ornament. There is no vice so simple, but assumes some mark of virtue on its outward parts. Thus, ornament is but the guiled shore to a most dangerous sea. The seeming truth which cunning times put on to entrap the wisest. Therefore, gaudy gold, I will have none of thee." He is rewarded for this trust. This trust in something deeper than what the outside shows. He puts his faith in the stuff of the mind, of the soul, what drives the body, the heart. For how is fancy bread? In the heart or in the head? The answer, Shakespeare tells us, it is engendered in the eyes, with gazing fed, and fancy dies in the cradle where it lies. Fancy, which strives to deceive us, confuses us with its sparklings. It is what lies behind that fancy which calls to us. It calls to us from the deepest parts of our core, calls to us from the beginnings of creation, from the beginnings of time even. Yes, we can't always see through fancy. Sometimes we are led astray by our deceptive eyes. But the inevitable truth remains. We are more than the fancies that grab us. We do not belong to these fleeting joys. In the end, it all comes down to this. God claimed us. And in the end, what we are called to do, even though Selena might be cool, but only God is worthy of honor. Amen.